sermon on our series on Jonah, not our second. Last week we did Habakkuk, which is a good starter for the year. Just wanted to make that clear. So it is indeed the first sermon of this new series on Jonah, which is going to be amazing. It's a four-part series which you don't want to miss out on. So you know, we don't just suck our thumbs and then decide, okay, well, what are we going to do? Firstly, just so that you know, the elders, when we go away on retreat, we go and we think and we ponder and we pray and to ask God, what do you think you want us to cover? What do you want us to cover, Lord? Then we get the preaching team together, an eclectic mix of people, old and not so old, and we all discuss what we are going to be covering in the next series. And so we thrash it out, we argue a little bit, no names mentioned, and we talk about what the scripture is saying so that we can set ourselves up to give you the best of what God has to say to you. So it really is a word, like preaching is God's word to you through the leaders that are ordained to lead and preach in your situation. That's what it is. So actually it's incumbent on you and me to be a part of that process of listening to God and hearing from God by trying not to miss out. It's not a legalistic thing. It's like getting half the message. Imagine if I was speaking to you and I only gave you half the information to get to my house and you didn't have like Google Maps or whatever it is, right? What would happen? Okay, you would only get halfway, okay? You want to get halfway, you want to get the whole way. So I just want to encourage you as the leader in the church to say, come and listen to the in church preferably. And if you can't be here, then second prize is to download it online. So we own, like I said, this book of Jonah, and we've called it Even If, and I'll explain that in a moment. We're going to go straight to the scripture itself and read what we're covering today. And then I'm going to do two things. I'm going to contextualize the book, and then we're going to have a short lesson on these verses that we've got up on the screen. So let's read together. We're in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Amen. So some context into the book, just onto the next slide. Some context into the book and what is going on. I must confess that prior to studying Jonah, I had very, very little clue what was going on. I thought I knew what was going on, but I didn't. And that might be because I've been brainwashed by so many children's books on Jonah, maybe. Okay, but actually the book is an incredible book. It's a literary masterpiece. Jonah was a prophet. First click of that thing, thank you. He was a prophet in the time of King Jeroboam the Second. He was an evil king, actually. It's confirmed that he was a prophet in this time because he did prophesy over this king at a point. But you know he was a prophet too because it says in the verses that we read, verse 1, it said that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, right? Now the word Lord there is in capital letters, and that is because translated it is from the name of God, which is Yahweh. So Yahweh, in other words, speaks to Jonah. Now, that only happens with prophets in the Old Testament, that Yahweh would speak to somebody, like the personal God, speaking to an intermediary to his people. So he is very definitely a prophet according to the book and according to what we learn of him in other books. So it is a unique book. It is unique in that it is a narration. So unlike other prophetic books and minor prophets, which are basically a prophet speaking God's word to people, or to a nation, This is a story about a prophet. So it's like, unlike any other of the books. But it's brilliant, like I said earlier, in its literary style, and that it uses its design and its style to accentuate the message that is in it. And so, quite interestingly, the scholars of the Bible and of the book would tell you that it uses certain devices such as extremes. So it's like action-packed. It has got, it's from beginning to end, it's non-stop action and like on a big scale. So it's talking about Jonah runs from where he is to Tarshish, which is like the furthest you can go on the map. Like literally there were no more stops for Jonah to get to. So it's like an extreme. Jonah's action is extreme. To get away from God is extreme. The storm is a huge storm, a huge tempest. It is extreme. The fish story and the fish itself is must have been a massive fish, right? So it uses these extremes to get its point across and to keep you in the story, to get you to understand what God is trying to say. But the other thing it does in its cleverness and in its strategy is it uses quite a lot of irony in the book as well. And so in that, stereotypes are reversed. So he has a prophet of God. I'm just going to move this. I'm going to trip just now. Henry joked that I would be falling prostrate before the Lord instead of tripping over my laces because my laces were undone. So I don't want to fall prostrate before you here. But so the book uses these ironies and these reverse stereotypes to get its point across as well. So he has a prophet of God, and he is, would you say, obedient or disobedient? This is not hard. You've read this book, right? Disobedient, thank you. All right, disobedient. He's disobedient. Look at the sailors on the ship when the storm comes, and they're saying, they're praying to their God, right? They're praying to God, they're praying to deity. Like, here's one guy, he's asleep. Others are praying to God. Who should have been praying, right? So that is just one example of many of how the character, Jonah's character, is used in opposite. All right, and how people who shouldn't have been like prophets are used like as a prophet. Another example is the king of Nineveh later in the story. The king of Nineveh gets off his throne and he basically strips himself into sackcloth. Wouldn't want to wear that, okay? Sackcloth and ashes to repent. Now that's a king coming to the lowest point in repentance to God. Now that's a reverse stereotype of somebody who was the king of the most evil nation in the world at that time. And so it reverses the role. Why is it doing that? Why does the book do that? And the reason it does this is it's so that we would sit up and take notice. Because just like the other prophets, it's still God's word to us. Even though it's a story, it's saying, can you look in the mirror? Can you look in the mirror? And when we see Jonah, what you should see is you, yourself and myself. So Jonah's message, even though it's a narrative, is consistent. And this is the next click and click again. Is it consistent with the other prophets in terms of what it's trying to tell us? And it's also complementary to the other prophets. That it's a book that is written so that we could look at ourselves and compare ourselves in the story, and I'll come to that next point. Can I just take a sidestep here quickly? Because I think it's important to understand that this book is not meant to be about the supernatural occurrences that are in the book. What I'm trying to say is, it's trying to be a message to you and me so that we can sit up and notice what God is saying to us about our lives and some of the inconsistencies in our lives and other things, which I'll come to in a moment. But what it's not trying to do is it's not necessarily trying to highlight the supernatural. The supernatural is in there, so the sailors cast lots to find out what is the storm about, right, as an example, and Jonah is identified. Jonah's swallowed by a big fish, as an example. So that's another supernatural occurrence. These things can easily happen in God's world, right? If God can raise somebody from the dead, if Jesus can rise from the dead after 3 days, then a whale can swallow Jonah. It can actually happen. It could have happened. But whether it's actual parable, because some people, we are divided on this in the church, is it parable trying to tell a message, or is it actual also trying to message, is not really as relevant. What's relevant is, like I said, is we sit up and take notice of the message to us. So I said to you earlier that the book is complementary and consistent with other prophets and the books of the Bible. If you can go to the next slide. What is the primary message that it's trying to give? Well, firstly, like I said, it's trying to be a commentary, a mirror on God's behavior of God's people. So when we look at Jonah and we look at these extremes and we look at how he's behaving as opposed to how he should be behaving and the contrasts and the ironies, we should be saying, okay, what is it saying to me? All right, and just as a church, like we honor Scripture, and we honor the power of Scripture, and we honor God's word being from God. And so the danger that we can fall into is when we are confronted with truth in the Bible and judgment, because there is judgment on character and how we live in the Bible for all good reasons. We all want parents who are going to judge our behavior from now and again. We want parents to be able to say, don't run across the road when there are cars, okay? Because you're going to get knocked over and hurt, eh? Is that okay? Is that, we don't want to be those children who say, don't judge me because I'm running across the road and there are cars. Do we want to do that? No, we don't want to do that. We want to be obedient children to God. And he speaks to us very often through his word, or primarily through his word. So we want to honor his word. So what do we want to do? What's our posture? Is to come underneath God's word and say, God, what are you trying to teach me through your word? As opposed, let me judge your word and go downwards on God's word and judge it in relation to me. Is to submit to God's word, to what it's saying. So I would like us all to have open hearts as we go into the book of Jonah. Next thing, as we finish just the context, is it's a confirmation of God's character. I was blown away by this in the book. Of God's character coming through in this book. For me, it was the main thing. Before, when I was reading Jonah, I really focused only on Jonah. For whatever reason, when I read the book of Jonah, it was all about his actions and what he was doing. But actually, when you see the hero of the story is God. And when you see God's character coming through over and over and over and over in the Bible, it moves your heart to see what a faithful, loving, persistent, patient God this is. As a preaching team, we were discussing Jonah. And when this struck us as a team, like God's faithful, persistent, loving nature, we were like, we would never have acted like that. Like we would have just struck Jonah dead right there on the spot. He's a prat. He is so arrogant. He is so disobedient all of the time. And God is just continuously showing his faithfulness and his patience towards Jonah. It's amazing to see God's character. And it's God's character to you and me. And then finally, it's a call to repentance. Now, we get stuck on the word repentance. I'm not going to go into that quite too much. But it's a call to rewrite a story. So I want to change the word to repentance from repentance to rewriting a story. That God, through the book of Jonah, as we put this mirror up to ourselves, and we see the stark reality of the inconsistencies of our lives, and we see God's loving character, we get to rewrite our story. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, it's an invitation to you and me to say, okay, I might have been running in this direction as Jonah, like Jonah, but actually, God's loving kindness means I can actually come back to him as an example. So we've called the book Even If, the study of the book, because even if you have run in the wrong direction, God is still with you and he's calling you back. Even if there are storms raging around your life today, and I'm sure there's some of you with a storm raging around your life today, that God is with you in the storm, and he will save you out of the storm ultimately. Even if you're in the belly of a fish, a smelly old fish, God is with you in the depths of your despair. Even if God is with you on all occasions and wants what's best for you. So that's the context to the book of Jonah. And I'll answer a brief lesson on the verses that we've covered, and there's just three points I want to go over with you. So, God's word to you. Okay, firstly, we see in the book, it says, verse 1 and 2, now the word of the Lord, as Lord should have been in capitals, came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. So, in the Old Testament, how God worked through his Spirit was that he would adorn or clothe people at certain times and at certain occasions in order to do a specific work. So that could be anything from leading a nation against enemies to building a temple to being a prophet. So some people were appointed by God as prophets, and from time to time God's Spirit would be with them and then it would clothe them with power so they could speak as prophets. If we go to Acts chapter 2, and we read from Peter's message to the church in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, Peter preaches from the book of the prophet, he says, Joel, because it was from Joel, and he says, "And it shall be in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I'll pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." What does this tell you about then and now? Before Jonah had a call on his life, God's Spirit would be with him, and he would hopefully speak honestly and openly, and he would be available to God. But now we have God's Spirit with us and in us. That means every single one of you, for every single one of you, God's word is to you. That you have God's word available to you. That God wants to speak to you and speak through you on all occasions. So we need to be listening. Not like Jonah. He did listen for a portion, then he ran away and he was disobedient. But we need to be available to hear God's word. God wants to speak to you. Today God wants to speak to you. All the time God wants to speak to you. He's trying to reach you. So even when you think, next click the next thing, when God wants to speak to you and through you, even when you don't feel qualified even. Even if you think your sin is too much or that you've gone too far, or if you run too far, God is still wanting to speak in you and through you. It's the word of God, and the word of God is a sustenance to you and me. And it's, I don't know how we live, folks, I don't know how we live, going totally off script here. I don't know how we live without the revelation of God and his word to us, to live well. To live well. I think through persistent practice of living a good Christian life, you can live with good relationships and those things. But God wants you to live even better than that. He wants you to hear him and respond to him. Jesus, in John chapter 5, verse 30, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I can do nothing on my own." This is Jesus. "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." I can do nothing on my own. If Jesus cannot operate without the inspiration from Father and Spirit, how will you and I judge correctly what we need to do? If you're in a difficult relationship, or you have trouble at work, or if you are making a financial decision, or if you are wanting to change jobs, or whatever it is, how do you do that well without listening to God first and giving it over to him? All right. And so what I want to encourage you with is God has given you and me the Spirit, so that we can hear from him. We can hear his word. Okay, next and second to last point. God's presence with you. "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." So Jonah thinks he can run away from the presence of the Lord, or does he? I don't know. I think maybe I'm just thinking about Jonah trying to run away from the presence of the Lord. I know for the Israelites and for the people of that time, the Lord's presence was where? In the temple. Okay. So there's a kind of small-mindedness about God and where God is and where God's presence is. Or is like God is only in the temple. If I go to Tarshish, the furthest point on the end of the planet, then our God won't be there. But I mean, obviously that's foolish. It's quite comical, very comical, and a spoiler alert for next week's sermon, is that when he is on the ship, right, and the sailors say to him, hey, who are you? Where are you from? Like, what's going on with the storm? Like, it's you. The lots fell with you. Who are you? He says, I'm one who fears God, who made the seas and the earth. Really? Okay. So he made all of this, and you're trying to run away from him. Right? On our boat. I got that from Tim Mackey's sermon. You're on our boat, and you've messed up. You're trying to get away from the Lord of the sea, and you're on our boat. Thank you for that. Right, we're all going down. Okay? In other words, you cannot run away from God. You cannot run, just click the next thing. You can't flee from God's presence. I love that picture that Ella brought about the monkey grip. Eh? She called it a monkey grip. It's actually called a sailor's grip. Can we do a sailor's grip, Doug? There, just go side to side here so people can see. Can you see the sailor's grip, guys? This is a very strong grip. Because even if I let go... Okay, no. Okay, Doug's not God, okay? Even if I let go, right, Doug's got me, all right? That's why they use the sailor's grip, all right? Okay, and it also works well with the sermon as well. The sailor's grip, or the monkey grip. Okay, it's God's grip on your life, that God's presence is always with you if you've given your life over to Jesus. Have you given your life to God? Are you sitting here? Have you given your life to God? I'm just being straight up with you. Because if you're sitting here and you haven't given your life to God, God can be present because he's omnipresent, but he's not going to be with you. All right. If you haven't given your life to God, today's your day. Today's your day. Because you don't want to be going through life without the monkey grip. Because you're going to slip and you're going to fall. And who's going to catch you? Who's going to catch you? God will catch you. God's presence is always with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is always with you. All right, so the issue is, though, is that even as Christ followers, we can flee from being present with God. And we're all pretty good at this. We're all pretty good at Jonah because of his disobedience, but for every reason we could think of, we sometimes flee from being present with God. All right. So what are some of the things that make us flee from being present with God today? All right. So it could be hurt and pain in your life. It could be disappointment. It's like, God, I don't want to be present with you because you let me down. I feel like you let me down. All right. What about distractions? Like YouTube and screens, distractions. And it's very difficult to feel that you're present with God when you're so distracted by the things that you're pursuing and you're chasing, the things of the world. So just clicked on the next thing. So, but God is always with you, and his loving presence is pursuing you even when you don't feel that you don't deserve it. So I want to leave you with that point. It's like God is always pursuing you, hey? So remember what I said at the beginning. This word from the prophet is a prophet, and it's a commentary on you. And guys, we don't want to leave this church today. Again. And just go back to where we were. Who wants to just, actually when we leave, we're just going to carry on like we were. Who wants to do that? I hope no one. So I stand here not in judgment on you. And this book doesn't stand in judgment over you as like a person, but it stands in judgment over our behavior. Because we're very good at going back and just doing what we did before, hey? If you're here and you're listening to God's Spirit, then if you give him the moment, he's going to tell you. He's going to put something in on your life. He's going to say, this is a distraction. It's getting in the way between me and you. I want you to think about it. Are you brave enough? Are you brave enough just to close your eyes for a second? Will you close your eyes and just breathe? Just close your eyes and say, God, Father, what is getting in the way of my relationship with you? What is getting in the way? Amen. And now we give it over to God, understanding that we're not going to be perfect, and we're going to make mistakes along the way, and that's okay. because God is always pursuing you and you can always turn back. God, help us to turn back. Help us to turn back. And then lastly, the last slide. God's call on you. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Rise, call out to your God. Perhaps God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish." It's interesting, I think for us, when we get so over-involved in our own world, how self-centered we can become. When we stop listening to God, stop hearing from God, and we're just on our own mission, right? And here's Jonah. He is being disobedient. He's run away. But is God still working? Yes, he is. God is working in two ways. In one way, he's trying to wake Jonah up. So it's highly likely that in one way or another, God is trying to wake you or wake me up from our sleep, from our slumber. Because when we're so self-absorbed, you stop seeing the things of God around you. The sailors saw that the storm was supernatural. Jonah didn't see it. Jonah was asleep. He was so asleep to the things of God. He was like, "I'm going to sleep. I don't actually care about what God might do or not do. I'm sleeping. I'm not awake to the things of God." And even in his place of disobedience, even in that place of running away from God, and he's now on a ship and he's meant to be in Nineveh, God is working. He's working in the storm to wake him up and to reveal himself, and he's working in the lives of the sailors. And Jonah misses it. So he has an opportunity on the boat, even in his disobedience, to speak for God amongst the sailors. To be the one to come to God, to come clean and say, "Yes, it is me. I'm being disobedient to God. Let us pray." And we pray, and I'll repent, and I'm going back to Nineveh. Here's his opportunity, right? And he misses it. But God is still working. And God still works in the lives of the sailors. When he confesses, "This is who I am," even though it's not a full repentance, because he says, "Throw me overboard." Ultimately, that's not full repentance. That's trying to get out of what he was meant to be doing when he said, "Throw me overboard." Ultimately, God is working in the lives of the people around him. And God is working in the lives of the people around you all of the time. God is working in your family all of the time. God is working in your workplace all of the time. God is working in your friendships all of the time. And he wants to use you in those spaces. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall asleep. We fall asleep to the things of God, and then we're only doing our thing because we become self-centered like Jonah. God doesn't want you or me to miss out. The picture of Jesus going along the lake of Sea of Galilee, right? And there he is, and he notices, was it Simon and Peter? And he notices them, and he says, "Come and follow me, you know, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Phil, you're a fisher of men. You're not a doctor, bro. You're a fisher of men. All right, okay. All of you are fishers of men. You're fishers of men. You were this, you were a doctor, you were in timber, right? You're an accountant, you were an accountant, Dean. You were, Harvey, a farmer, but actually not. That is just where God placed you. That's where you are on the ship. Or hopefully not on the ship. Maybe that's Nineveh. But wherever it might be, and even if you've been disobedient, even if God has said to you, go to Zimbabwe and do something there, and you're still here, God still is going to use you. And he can still work through you. And he will. Because he is working all the time. Tirelessly want to work through you. I want to ask you, how are you being obedient to that call today? What are you doing in your spaces to show people God? Because he wants to. He wants to use you. And we don't want to miss out. Do we want to miss out? I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out what God is doing around me. Just think for Jonah as I close. Think for Jonah. Like this, the story is a bizarre story. It's a beautiful story because it doesn't end properly. And so, like I said, it gives us a chance to rewrite. And maybe Jonah did rewrite his story after this. We don't know. But here are two occasions where people have come to the revelation of God. Two occasions, even through Jonah's disobedience. And he doesn't get to enjoy that. Like on the first occasion, it's the sailors. And he says, throw me overboard. He should have been like jumping with joy. It's like, wow, look at God. He's taken these heathens and he's turned them to God. Turned them to himself. It's amazing. And he used me. I'm going to go back to Jerusalem. I'm going to tell everyone how God used me, man. We have converted a whole ship of heathens. Those guys. They knew nothing about God. Now look. And he used me. How cool. And then we were on the ship and they took me back and I went to Nineveh and I converted the whole city through God's grace. The whole city. Through God's grace. What's Jonah doing? Like God uses him anyway and he grumbles. Like, God, why did you save them? We don't want to be those guys, eh? We want to be like reveling. God, use me. Just one person. God, just one. Just give me one person this week. Just one. Just show me one person. I can say, hey, do you know Jesus? Or can I pray with you? Or I think God, this is what God has for you. Just give me one person, God, just one. Just one to encourage me. Somebody I can reach out to for your glory alone. Because then I don't miss out. Then I get to see what you're doing in the lives of people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this book, which is a very honest commentary on our lives. God, and we sit and stand here imperfect, but humble in your hands. And we pray that you would help us to turn. God, I don't know how to wake up. I don't know how to wake up myself. I don't know how to wake up the church. Only your Spirit can do that. So wake us up, God. Wake us up. Wake us up to what you're doing. Wake us up to the people who need your love. Wake us up to the people who are dying because they're distant from you. Wake us up, God, we pray. Forgive us for being wayward like Jonah. We know you do. We know that you're present with us. Thank you for never letting us go. And take us, Lord, this year and use us, we pray. That at the end of this year, we can say, look what God has done. Look what he's done through his grace and his favor and his mercy. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.